You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Finish Line. So, a couple of questions maybe, and then we'll get into this. Are you in the finish line, or are you in the quitting line? Do you have any plans of finishing this race? Are you even in the race? Do you even know what the race really is? And we'll get into all of that. I think I've told this a little bit along the way. My wife and I ended up finally, after 30-something years buying a house, we didn't know we were taking it to the studs. Didn't know anything about that. We closed on it, and here we go. And you get in the middle of that process, and you look around, especially when you've got something down to the studs, and you realize this has to go back the other direction. We can't live in here with no sheetrock, with no insulation. We can't live here. And I used to wonder why I would drive through neighborhoods and see a house just kind of abandoned. Not a bad house, just an abandoned house. And a couple of things happened probably. Either they ran out of money, or they just said, we can't do this anymore. Because if you don't have some vision for what it's going to look like when you're finished, it's hard to finish. And if you don't have some idea of what your life could be or is in the process of becoming because you have some idea of what God has for you, then you just go, I can't do this anymore. So some of where this is coming from today, you know, you say, well, how do you come up with these messages? These are never random words, random things. This comes out of spending time with you and with people that I spend time with. There's just a lot of people that maybe they don't see it as quitting. They just say, I can't do this anymore. And they don't know how, and that's why discipleship is so huge, because you become a Christian, and it's like throwing formula and baby food in a crib with a newborn and going, good luck, we love you, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and then you come home and your baby's dead. Well, what an ungrateful child. We gave it life, we provided some food while we were gone. You can't expect infant Christians to survive without some support and figure out how to live and get up and running. So we're going to talk about this today and hopefully give you some hope about how you move this forward. So let's start in Numbers chapter 14. Some people that got in the quitting line. Numbers 14:1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices, and this is after Moses has led them out of the wilderness. Led them out of Egypt. And they cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let's go back. Let's find someone else to lead us that'll lead us backwards, not forwards. I'm not trying to lead you backwards. So my job and our job as a church, as elders, is to try to help you hit the finish line, not halfway. There's another King James Version word for it, but we won't use that today. Not halfway there, but hit it hard. Look at Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. And I kind of did some study on this, trying to figure out what this really was about. It says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So to end well, you have to be patient. You can be all excited and say, oh, look what I've done. I started this project, like starting redoing a house. When you move in it and it's finished, that's when you can say, wow, this is extraordinary. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. So a lot of people get started, New Year's resolution kind of things, and I'm going to do this and do that. I would keep quiet about what, you know, you're doing. Let's look at toward the end. A gentleman shared today in the prayer time about being married 55 years, and wife had some health issues, and he told her he was staying. She said, I'd stay, you know, take care of each other. You know, you say, well, we've been married 50 years, and somebody gets sick, and somebody divorces the sick person. You're like, what was that? Right? I hear about this. I didn't sign up for this. I have the right to be happy. No, you have the right to be silent and say, Lord, I signed up for this and I'm going to trust you and we're going to get through this. Right? So you don't know somebody made it to the finish line till they hit the finish line. And you can go on a long journey in a ship and still be shipwrecked. And Paul had some concerns about that in his own life, making sure he did not end up shipwrecked. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that what? So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, you say, well, that was his mission. Look, at some point you got to figure out, it's all of our mission. I encourage you to break that down to each situation and say, why am I here? And understand that it is about the gospel, right? Have a conversation. And you say, well, what if it doesn't come up? I like this approach. Say, God, I'm going to bring you up unless you stop me. Not, I'll bring you up if you tell me to, right? I got people show me pictures of their grandkids. I didn't ask to see pictures of these ugly babies, right? I don't want to see. No, see, I got you now. They weren't listening, but they are now. Oh, he's so mean. You've seen those babies. They grow up, but some of them are rough looking at first. So, like, that's not true? Terrible. That's terrible, isn't it, Kenny? Everybody's got an opinion when they got one, don't they? So what are you doing there? And I've gone through all this. Your car breaks down. Oh, my car. It's not about your car. It's about the tire guy. It's about the mechanic. It's something else. Stop being focused on your problems and ask God if there's something about the problem that he's using to get you to the person he's been trying to reach. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I haven't read this in a while, but I keep coming back to this, and I'm trying to help you with this, so don't take this negatively, but pay attention to what I'm about to read you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is Paul writing to this bunch of screwed up Christians in Corinth, and he's talking about, you know, how people got saved and through whom, and, you know, they're saying, well, I came through this guy, that guy. He says, not about all that. And then verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I poured this slab, Paul says, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that you can build on that will last. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, so he's saying, here's some building materials you could choose. Each one's work will become clear. It'll be obvious what you built with, for the day will declare it. So this day of reckoning at some point. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, this is to Christians. You say, oh, this is deciding whether you're going to get into heaven or hell. No, this is all these people addressed here are going to make heaven. This is an issue of, was it explained to you? And did you adopt the methodology of living your life in such a way that every day, every situation, your radar is on and you're like, okay, Lord, why am I here? You say, well, is it always to share the gospel? No, sometimes you share the gospel, you find out they're a Christian. Then they say, my daughter's in trouble, my marriage is in trouble. Then you're there not to lead them to Christ, but to pray for them, to minister them in some way. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then this day is coming. So you say, well, I want to live like I want to live. You can do that, but he's going to make you wish you hadn't. So look how this unfolds. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. You just don't want this day to come. And I meet people that, you know, they save up, invest, and they retire, and they go off and hide in some hole somewhere, and it's all about them. I'm not saying you can't retire, but retirement doesn't mean you quit. You got more time than ever now. Oh, I'm going to retire and go play golf every day. Well, if you're not sharing the gospel, nobody's getting saved on the golf course. What are you doing out there? Oh, I'm going to buy me a ranch and ride horses. What are you going to witness to the horse? Go somewhere where there's some people. Well, I don't want to be around people. People are a problem. Yeah, like you. What is your plan? What kind of race are you running? What are you anticipating? Are you aware that there's going to be a reckoning of some kind, an accounting of some kind, where how you chose to live, not in accordance possibly with the word of God, is going to have consequence? And you say, oh, but there's grace. It'll all be okay. You stare into the eyes of Jesus, who died on a cross, shed his blood, buried, raised from the dead, clearly lays out the purposes and plans he has for all of our lives and says, live it, make disciples, it's all clear. And then you look him in the eyes when you survive the fire and everybody else is getting stuff. And he goes, well, you made it, barely, by fire. You escaped but by fire. But apparently it was wood, hay, stubble that you built with. Welcome, but you have nothing to show for your life. Man, give that some thought. That's Jesus. You say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. It takes a little bit of faith to think about eternity and the consequences of how you live here. Galatians 5. Now, this is a very simple verse. I did not understand this verse growing up, but I'm about to tell you your only hope as a Christian for hitting the finish line without as many bumps in the road. I say then, Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, you are going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to live that kind of life. So you say, well, what do I do? Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Before you go to sleep, when you wake up, you say, Lord, is the slate clean? Is there any unresolved conflict, something I'm holding back, some sin I've not confessed? Are we good? And you listen, and the Holy Spirit convicts you of some sin, and you confess it, and you say, Lord, is there anything else? And then he starts moving through your heart, inventory, and then if there's silence, you say, okay, we're ready to go. Yeah. So now I'm walking that out in the Spirit. Now every step is taken in concert with him. I'm listening to him. I'm trusting him. I'm obeying him. Then when you hit that temptation that he allows, but not more than you can stand, always a way of escape, when you see that temptation, he goes, keep moving. You got this. I got this. I'm right here. In the Spirit, you are not required to fulfill any lust of the flesh. So why would any Christian live in the flesh? Because we choose to. You say, well, I didn't choose this. Your default is always the flesh. Your flesh kicks in. If you don't choose to walk in the Spirit, you will end up default in the flesh. And the only explanation I can come up for that is we love our sin. I love my sin more than I love Jesus sometimes. Now, you say, well, I'm down right now. I showed up at church for this gathering, or maybe you're watching or listening. You go, yeah, I'm a mess right now. Then let's get this, figure it out. Say, okay, Lord, obviously this is the issue. Now, by the way, if you go through this thing I just described, you pray, ask him, convict me of sin, all this stuff, and you're laying next to some man or woman you're not married to, be not deceived. God is not mocked, right? If you are living in sin and confessing everything else but the thing you're going to hold on to, that's walking in the flesh. That's not walking in the Spirit. Philippians 3, verse 13. And I love this about Paul because he's not claiming to be all that. He says, brethren, so he's talking to Christians, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Like, I'm not claiming to have arrived. I'm not saying it's finished. I'm on the other side. I'm still in process. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But to do that, you have to have a goal to press toward. I've never heard of a race where they line you up and say, on your mark, you said, go, and you just pick a destination. You run over to a nearby tree and go, I won, I won, I won. This is the race I picked. Every race has a starting point and a finish line, and everybody knows where the finish line is. So what is your finish line? Or better question, who is your finish line? So if you keep your eyes on Jesus, focused on Jesus, and he is your finish line, then you're going to have an easier time finishing than getting distracted. Cares of this world, desire for other things, deceitfulness of riches, all that stuff pulled over here. Press toward the goal for what? The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are rewards. People get nervous about this and go, well, I'm not comfortable with, there's going to be an award ceremony and God's going to pass out stuff. It's in the book. You better figure out what it is. You're going to be sitting there with your, escape by fire fume smell, watching everybody else who chose to follow him, not just trusting to get into heaven, but trusting to get through life his way. Another one that goes with Philippians 1:6, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Yeah, this is why I'm encouraging you to read the Bible, because if you find this stuff, and I'm giving it to you, and some people write this down, some of you just staring at me think you're going to remember it. You're not going to remember. I suppose if that worked for you in school, the teacher says, oh, you're not taking notes. Oh, I'm a savant. I don't need notes. Ain't no savant. You failed the test. Or you cheated. Write it down. Underline it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, and what demonstrates that he is faithful? Who also will do it. He's saying, look, I'm not just calling you to do something. I'm going to do the doing. If you'll just yield, get out of the way, you're letting me live in you as a Christian. Why don't you let me live through you as a Christian? Because no one can live the Christ life better than Christ. 2 Timothy 4. Jesus said, it is finished. I finished what he gave me to do. 2 Timothy 4, Paul, same way. I have fought the good fight. 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Just underline those things. Fight, finish, keep the faith. And just do it one day at a time. You say, well, I can't do this the rest of my life. I've shared this before. When Rebecca married me, she told me at some point, I couldn't imagine being married to you for the rest of my life. So I decided I would be married to you one day at a time. I think it was a compliment, but probably not. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Now, how does he know he's going to get a crown of righteousness? Because he fought, he finished, he kept the faith. These things are related. If I asked you, are you going to get any rewards, any crowns of any kind? And you think, well, I don't know. There's a reason for that. You're not running the race. And it's not about working for God in order to get into heaven. It's not anything to do with that. You're already a Christian. If you're a Christian, now it's about letting him live in you and through you and be who you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do, so that when you get there, you go, well, yeah, where's the award ceremony? I'm sure there's something here for me. You say, well, who would think that way? You got to start thinking that way. Because when the music cranks and it's time to cast your golden crowns in front of him, if you reach and there's nothing there, you're going to stand there empty-handed. Crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's some confidence. He will give it to me on that day. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's referring back to Hebrews 11, all these saints, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he doesn't just start this thing, not just the author of it, he is the finisher of your faith. It takes him to do all of it. Who for the joy that was set before him, you say, well, what joy? He died. It says that. The joy that was set before him, but what else was before what was before him? The joy before that was endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you say, well, I got obstacles too, but the joy that's set before you is Jesus. But you say, but for me to get to Jesus, I got these obstacles. It's hurdles. It's not just a race. It's got obstacles. Clear the obstacles one at a time, but keep your eyes on him. And then Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And by the way, part of the finish line, flip back over to Matthew 25:21. This is Jesus separating the sheep from the goats. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's on the other side. John Stephen Akwori of Tanzania finished last in the marathon after suffering a leg injury mid-race. This is in the 1968 Mexico Olympics. When asked why he didn't quit, he said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Jesus didn't come down here just to start something. He came down here to finish something. And he is the finisher. He is the author and the finisher. But at some point, you got to yield every weight, lay it aside, let it go. Now, it turns out it's a cross-country race, which means you have to go by way of the cross first, or you won't even be in the race. A few nights ago, a guy that showed up here 20-something years ago off the radio, a truck driver, he was rough. All kind of drugs, meth, everything, just a mess. Four kids. And he got sick. I'd go speak somewhere. He'd show up with a tractor trailer rig. He loved me and I loved him. Well, a few nights ago, they got everybody together because he was intubated. He wasn't going to make it. They were going to pull the tubes. So I didn't want to go. I don't like doing this. I'm not saying I won't come do it if it's you, but there's nothing pleasant about going in a hospital room with somebody's breathing and they're going to pull all those tubes out and then we're going to sit there and watch them die. He's laying there in the bed, still the tubes in, and I thought it was just going to be his kid. There's probably 25 people in the room, all his friends, just lots of people he had impacted. And I'm not going to hold this up and show you, but I looked down and I'd forgotten this. Well, maybe I will. It was a tattoo on his left forearm, and I took a picture, and it was the reunion logo. And on the top of the logo, it said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," and then below it, "and renew a right spirit within me." So I get in there and I realize there's this family. They're about to come in and pull the tubes and then we're all going to stand there and wait for him to die. So I spoke to the group. I knew some of them, I didn't know all of them. And I shared the gospel with the room and I said, "This is why I know where Mark is going, because I know he made this decision." And I said, "If you have not done this, you will not end up where you'll never see him again." So I prayed for the group and I said, "Now, if anybody, you know, wants to pray, pray with me." No one prayed out loud. So I sat down on the couch next to his 16-year-old granddaughter, and she was pretty disturbed seeing her grandfather that way. And I talked to her for a minute and I said, "Did you pray with me a few minutes ago?" And she got teary-eyed and said, "Yes, sir." And so I started talking to her about that decision. And then it occurs to me that sometimes somebody has to die for someone else to live. And that is the gospel.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So I don't, you know, if you're a Christian, you're going to make it to heaven. That's not my message today. You'll make it if you're a Christian. It could be a mess. The discipline, the correction could be mind-boggling. You don't want to take on a living God, a holy God. Yield. But even if you don't yield and you make it, it may not go well on the other side just in terms of what you knew and you didn't do what you knew. But if you're not even in the race, you got to get in the race. And the race starting blocks are at the foot of the cross, where you look up and say, "Jesus, I have sinned. I know why you're up there. It's me. I got you put up there. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. You died there for me, buried and raised from the dead to pay for my sin and offer me eternal life. I accept. Come live in me, through me, save me, change me, use my life, help me figure out these things that have been discussed today, and let me know why I'm here and in the specific circumstances of my life, why I am here in this moment, to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within me.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.